I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Choose a side in a Clone Wars.
Welcome to Prattleworld. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan. And in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And welcome to another edition of Clone Wars, where two similar movies clash to be crowned champion. Two films go in, only one comes out. And I have my frequent fan and frequent contributor here with us today, the one and only Dennis Whittle.
Bonjour.
Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very, very good. It's good to have you back. Happy New Year and welcome back, everybody. It's a fresh new year and we're here to talk about two very, 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 very similar movies. In fact, the same movie almost entirely, but in a different language, however, with a different cast as well. So we're going to talk about Dracula.
Dracula, 1931 Dracula.
1931. So one directed by Todd Browning, with Bela Lugosi as Dracula, and the other one, Dracula as well, surprisingly.
Yeah.
It didn't change it up that much. From 1931, again, and directed by George Melford, and starring Carlos Villares as Dracula.
Indeed.
That's how I'm going to pronounce
that's
it.
That's
anyway.
Right. You pronounce it far better than I do.
It's very
I'm just going to call him Carlos.
Just Carl.
Yeah, just Carl. Carl.
You know, so tell us why that we're going to do things a little bit differently. Usually I do, you know, we compare five topics, usually directing, writing, music, that sort of thing. But we're going to have to do this a bit different because they are so similar. So why are they so similar?
Well, they are the same movie. One was shot during the day with all US cast and director, cinematography. And the other one was done in the evening. And the evening were done by a whole Spanish crew. So what Universal used to do, they used to do the English-speaking one during the day,
okay,
and then the Spanish or foreign, as they call it, speaking, because it might not always be Spanish, came in the evening and shot the movie. It's exactly the same set, some of the same costumes, same wig when it comes to Dracula, same dialogue, same... pretty much the same everything, just the crew, director, and stars are different.
And so language. Did this happen often, that the Universal or studios at the time would basically just kind of do a Spanish version?
Yeah, it was to open up to more markets. But it's my understanding that Dracula was the last one that they did. Mm. And it's one of the, like, beginning of the talkies, you know, called the silent era.
Well, this is, we've got to think about this now, is that also, like, it's the beginning of you know, it's a developing technology at this time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We never had this kind of sound before. That's why when I watched both of them today, I noticed a lot of white noise, you know.
There is a bit. There's no music in either of them.
No, exactly. Why was there no music as well? I didn't know this, actually. I forgot this. I can't remember.
The music was live. It was played in the theatres. So it was either a small band, a large band, or a guy on a keyboard, well, an organ. I love the word organ.
Just playing his own organs.
So there would be music.
I mean, Dracula likes to play with people's organs as well, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He loves it.
It would also be slightly different music depending on who was conducting it, who the musicians were. So it would be slightly different.
So I'd like to watch it. So really, you could watch Dracula, any of these Dracula films, with your own music playing. So if you wanted, you know...
I'm thinking the theme tune from The Archers.
any music, you know.
Yeah, do that. But I don't know how that would work. But it was also the first movie from the first cycle of Universal Monsters.
Okay.
Which is the famous Frankenstein Wolfman.
The very first cinematic universe.
Yes, it was. And they did interlink and they did join each other's movies and things. But that was cycle three. So okay. you had the first cycle, which was these ones.
Right.
Then the second cycle was kind of like reboots.
Okay.
And the third cycle was when they all mixed them up and you had probably...
I didn't even know there were cycles.
There were cycles. Not
cycles.
Not bicycles.
Not phases.
No.
Phase one, two, or three.
Three cycles.
Three cycles. A thricycle.
The thricycle. The second cycle started because they basically did like back-to-back showings of Dracula and Frankenstein. Okay. They were so popular. Hmm. Then you had Son of Frankenstein, Son of Dracula. And then the end of it was kind of, I think the last Universal monster was probably the Gullman from Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay.
They kind of all get grouped together.
Yeah.
But you could see the cycles, because as the cycle moves on and it goes into the kind of early 50s, you get more science fiction-y type stuff. Yeah. And you also had other studios like MGM doing like The Fly and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
It becomes more like aliens and,
yeah,
and proper monsters.
Flying saucers, stuff, Plan B from outer space. Yeah. You know, kind of.
Yeah. Them.
Yeah, so you had a lot more kind of science fiction-y stuff, so the supernatural horror wasn't that popular. So,
okay.
And then it came back with Hammer, but that's the story
for the day. It was the Atomic Age, wasn't it?
It was, so, yes.
There you go.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just the film shit.
Fantastic Four is a monster comic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how Neil Adams described it.
And it's the same, there's parallels with the cycle, you know. When it got to that age, you look at any of the kind of movies, you had big monsters, you had kind of like Creature from 20,000 Fathoms, you had all the stuff with...
I do want to see that one.
It's great. I love it. I think it's brilliant.
Harryhausen?
Yeah.
That does sound very, very good.
Yes.
But before we get on to chatting about Dracula, like this isn't the first time we've chatted about Dracula. You can go back and listen to our Tomb of Dracula podcast from Halloween, from the Shock Phobia Fest, which was very good and very entertaining.
I like Dracula.
I do. I like him too.
I like him. He's great. He's got pointy teeth.
He's got pointy teeth. He likes to bite the ladies.
Oh, he does like the ladies.
Not unlike yourself, Dennis.
Yeah, I wish. She'd hit me. She'd bite me back.
She'd knock you out, I think.
Probably,
Your missus would definitely
not. Anyone who's listening knows my wife, though, going,
definitely. I would absolutely not want to mess with Sarah in any form or annoy her in any way. I don't think I will ever will, but time will tell, I'm sure.
You will know if it happens.
Yeah, I'm never. I'll just be dead.
Not the undead.
But the reason we're chatting about Dracula, and the reason you suggested this to me, and I thought that's a great idea, but also it's quite kind of good timing because we've just had BBC have just done their mini series and their take on their new take or modern take on Dracula. What did you think of the series itself?
I liked it. I thought he was great.
He is fantastic.
I thought he was love child of Christopher Lee and Bela Lugosi.
So one of those genetic, SG baby type things.
You definitely, because you had the costume, you had the medal on, Bela Lugosi medal.
Yeah.
You had the red inside the cape, which is
had the accent initially. Had
he had the accent.
Yeah.
He had the red eyes, which is very much Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, definitely.
Christopher Lee.
Yeah. That'd be a very different Dracula, wouldn't it? That's a bad outfit.
So it was very much, and lots of kind of nods and winks to the, because Matt Gatiss is a massive horror fan. He loves the kind of classic movies.
He's an Uber fan of all that sort of stuff.
It was filmed at Bray Studios.
There you go,
Which Hammer was on, most of the Hammer movies were filmed there. And they were filmed, like the castle was filmed on the same set as Nosferatu.
Nice.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. That castle they used was the Nosferatu castle, yeah.
Bloody hell. Really, they've gone all out.
Yeah, so there was lots of kind of little kind of.
Yeah, a lot of the lines, I remembered from either 31 or Bram Stoker's Dracula or any of the interpretations of Dracula, Children of the Night.
The little kind of Children of the Night bit, which I thought was great. The twist on that was really cool. Didn't like the ending as much.
We'll try not to spoil it because this is probably the most recent thing I ever talk about. Most of the stuff, or Swamp Thing, was probably pretty recent as well. But I don't want to spoil it.
It's a story that's been told a lot. There's never been a telling which is exactly like the book, which is good because, to be honest, the book isn't brilliant.
All that great. Yeah.
Now, so new takes are needed. And it was a fresh take. I love Van Helsing. She was great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Harker was fab.
I liked Harker. I like the nuns. I like the aspect of it. Yeah, it's very, very new element, but I really cool.
I like the way he climbed, where he did stuff with the dog and things,
Turned into a dog.
Yeah, it was gory.
Yeah.
It was funny as well.
I think, you think of BBC, you think fairly safe, fairly, but there's a scene where Dracula throws the head of a nun at a load of other nuns.
Yes.
And I went, yes, more of this, please. More risk taking for the BBC. More stuff.
Yeah. And it's not a spoiler either because it's in quite a few of the films, but he carries a baby in a bag, which is like, got a baby in a bag.
Yep.
What's going to happen to that baby?
I wonder.
So those elements have been in the other Dracula movie. The Bram Stoker ones, he actually feeds the bride,
the baby
in that one. So that does need freshen up. And he was good. The lines and the fact he was smiling when he was saying these things. And
he was deliciously evil. I enjoyed the more, because he was kind of casual about it. He was like, it doesn't bother me. It's actually quite funny. It's quite humorous. I think this is great.
Yeah.
I thought he was fantastic. I was like, if you put him in a movie, I'd go and see that in a second. I would have, I would have cast him in a minute.
I did quite like him when he vampired his teeth, like shark teeth, all the different layers and stuff. Yeah. So, which is, you know, I always say that Dracula was a shark.
He's and like, when he's feeding as well, it's really like,
and bleeding,
he's flowing through that. Like, it's like pouring. You're right,
dirty eater.
Mucky puppy is.
Okay.
A dead mucky puppy.
But yeah, that's why he's got like that medal. Maybe is it Matt Mobb?
Yeah, it's got like a big one. Yeah, and it's something.
People are like, I read a lot of, I think it's got a lot of love. I think a lot of people have enjoyed it. But the kind of criticism, oh, it's not like the book. Oh, it's not like this. It's not like, well, if you can watch 50 Dracula movies. They'll all be different. They'll have elements. They'll have Harker. They'll have Mina. They'll have Lucy.
The MCU, like, I'm a huge Marvel fan, and the MCU isn't exactly like, you know, like the book.
Yeah.
The Defenders are not the original Defenders. The Avengers, not the original Avengers. And I could go on and on and on, you know, and go, well, the cult.
And sometimes you do.
And I do. And often I get, like in a previous podcast, the Nerdify, my catchphrase was, but in the comics. and then I'll go on at a tangent for about 20 minutes about in the comics and what happens in the comics and why it's so good and why it's different. And but that, in a way, you kind of have to do that because you do want people to go and read the comics. You don't want it to be exactly the same. You go, oh, this is actually really good. I wonder how the comic differs. If it's the exact same story, which it can't be when you translate it to another media, it gives you like a go, oh, I didn't see that scene. That scene was in the film. Well, that's a bit different. Or, oh, that happens and this didn't happen. You know, Born Again, they did Born Again in the Daredevil TV show, season 3.
Yeah,
the Avengers don't turn up like they do in the book. They don't turn up and put a fire out in Hell's Kitchen. That doesn't happen, you know. It's never going to be the same.
No, and
it's an adaptation.
And I think people like, you know, Ian Richardson, mate, and artists and all-around good guy.
Yes.
Like, his Dracula.
Wonderful Chinese, you know, dinner guest.
Yeah.
He's not Chinese. We went for a Chinese.
Yeah, don't go to Chinese in Malta.
No.
Anyway. you know, his is Christopher Lee. My Dracula's Christopher Lee. Other people's, it's Gary Oldman. Other people's, Bela Lugosi. Yeah. So it's, but I thought it was great. I did enjoy it. And my wife enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And she's quite hard to please with stuff like that. And I let my daughter watch it. She loved it as well.
Yeah. So it's you know, it does have that kind of BBC feel about it and that kind of classic Hammer feel.
Definitely Hammer. I think it definitely has a Hammer feel to it. Yeah. Even the soundtrack, the music, proper booming kind of orchestra and stuff. So, I liked it. I thought it was very good. I liked the relationship between Van Helsing and Dracula. It was almost like a love affair in the end.
It's kind of love and hate, very thin line.
Respect and
admiration.
A bit like, you know, again, the Hammer, there's a bit of respect between them. And even Bela Lugosi, which, you know, 1930, there's a bit of respect between, you know, for a man who's not lived.
I like the kind of I think the contradictions in Dracula make him interesting. You know, he's this honorable warrior, but he's also this guy that skulks around at night in alleyways and sucking people's blood, you know. And I always like the regal aspect of that. He's like, oh, I'm this regal, you know, this count and stuff. You're like, no, you're fucking blood addict is what you are.
And he's very good at horse and carriage as well.
Yeah. He's good at picking his guests up. We're going to talk about that very shortly. But no, I really enjoyed it. I got a real buzz out of it. It was really fun. It was nice. Again, I think they cast the right people in it. There is a time jump in the series, and I think a lot of people didn't. That's in the final episode. That's one of the ones I enjoyed the most, even though a lot of people didn't really enjoy that. I thought they kind of modernized it in an interesting way, gave certain characters a new way of looking at them that I'd never seen before. I think it's fantastic. I did notice as well, I found a little Easter egg that I don't know if anybody noticed, but in the third episode, the Dr. Seward answers the phone and his wallpaper's showing, and it's the same design as the Shining carpet in the movie of The Shining.
No.
Yeah, it's the exact same design, the same kind of bizarre, but a nice little nod.
There's like you were saying, door number on it, which harks very much to Hammer. I'm not going to say what it is because people to look at it.
Give it away, yeah.
But numbers are very...
There was a nice...
The number 9 is very significant as well. Okay. There's lots of things in there.
So, yeah. There's a staircase and there's a pattern within the banister. Yeah. It's like a skull. Almost looks like the Punisher kind of skull shape, which I really dug. I don't know if that was like, obviously it's an obvious choice, but I don't know if that was maybe referencing something else. I'm not that well up on my Dracula lore, which is why I brought you today.
Ooh, me?
I brought you. Gone.
Yes, you actually picked me up with the horse.
You're welcome. Yeah.
You horse and cart.
All the way to Didsbury.
Yeah, it's all the way here. No, it was good. I do like Dracula. There's very few Dracula movies that I don't like.
Because it's Dracula.
Even like the campier ones. Even some of the slightly dodgy 1970s ones with the big hair and stuff. And actually, there's elements of them. Yeah. What's he called? Langella.
Frank Langella.
Yeah, his hair.
Skeletor.
His hair is immense.
Yeah, he's got good hair.
Yeah.
Lost it bloody quickly, though.
Yeah, but forget about him being Dracula. Just that hair is scary.
Yeah, it is.
Proper disco collars and stuff in it as well. Mm. I do like Dracula. I do like the movies. And he's the first kind of franchised horror villainy type thing.
One of the most popular things.
Book's like, never been out of print.
There you go.
Movie translated. There's been a movie in every language.
Like the Bible. Never been out of print, you know.
What do you enjoy more?
Can't say I've read either.
I'll be honest, I'm a big fan of the talking about Bible movies. Yeah. The greatest story, is it the greatest story
ever told? Yeah. Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Surely was the Son of God. Say it a bit lower.
Surely was the Son of God.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Wayne.
Thank you.
Off you go. But I do like I love the Hammer movies.
Yeah.
I love the Universal stuff. Mm. I kind of love old horror. I love all that kind of, because without all this stuff, yeah, the films sometimes are quite laughable. Yeah. But we wouldn't have got Friday the 13th. We wouldn't have got Nightmare on Elm Street. We wouldn't have got all these new tellings of movies.
And in some ways, they're just as laughable.
Yeah, wouldn't have got Lost Boys and all these other stuff, because these were the trailblazers.
You wouldn't have got all these. Twilight, you wouldn't have got.
Yeah, well.
You wouldn't have had all this.
Well, Twilight's got more in common with the Bill of Gulls. So there's no fangs, there's no bats.
Yeah, it's true.
It doesn't change into anything, really. It's implied.
Well, I'm going to. There's a
twinkle, though.
There's a certain friend of mine who'd like to do a podcast about the Twilight saga at some point this year, so that is going to come up and we're going to talk about that.
All I can do is I'm going to apologize straight away
in advance. Do you not like it, Dennis?
No.
Well, I'm going to have to rewatch them, because that is my role.
I have watched them because my wife likes them.
I watched the first one.
And the fact I make her watch Universal movies and stuff, she, you know, give and take.
Not your flavor.
I don't like vampires sparkling in the sun.
Yeah, neither do I.
I like the one of them, there's like a battle and the end. I quite like that.
Yeah.
It was quite a good cinematic thing.
Epic, yeah.
But I don't know.
A lot of the to-ing and throwing between, you know.
Basically, Bella's once one goes, I'm going to jump on the other. Oh, she's back, then I'm going to jump on another. I just find it all a bit.
I mean, there's a horny bat or a horny wolf. You know,
pretty much.
What are you going to go for? Yeah. What's
she likes the bad boy,
doesn't
she?
The bad boy, both bad boys.
Yeah, one of them likes less clothing.
Yeah, but both very animalistic.
Yeah.
It's all about controlling
the
controlling
funny CGI
themselves.
Baby thing.
Really?
Yeah, which is a bit of it. I think the director of 30 Days of Nights did it.
Okay.
Then there was a really good scene with them coming out of the water.
Okay, cool.
The vampire, because they walk in and they come out.
Can't remember who the director was.
There are moments. Yeah, they're not, it's not my...
Okay.
I want necks being ripped out and, you know...
True.
I want kind of Fright Night.
You know what?
You know?
Never seen Fright Night.
Are you shitting me?
I've never seen Fright
Night. Oh my God.
Not even the remake or the sequel. Never seen it.
The vampire's called Jerry. What's not to like? You've never seen Fright Night. Right, that's a definite...
I don't
know why I'll say Fright Night 1.
I'll definitely watch it.
He's called Jerry. And the remake is dreadful, but good as well.
It's just one of those things. I think I started watching it on like Channel 5 and then I just didn't finish it. And that was it.
Seen Waxworks, haven't you?
No.
I've not seen Waxworks.
No.
Monster Squad?
Yes. Monster Squad. Monster Squad is amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know...
Wolfman don't have knack.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then they blow him up with, like... Then they blow him up with, like, a dynamite.
Yeah,
and he reforms because it's not silver or something.
Yeah.
Amazing. And,
And Dracula's really cool in that.
Yeah,
well.
Dracula's good in that. I like the mummies in that. I mean, that's kind of like a spiritual...
It's a universal movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Technically. Well, that's probably why they could get all the characters.
They're all there. And it's, again, and that's, they're talking about cycle. They're all there. You've got the Gill Man, you've got Frankenstein, you've got Wolfman.
Speaking of the Universal Monsters, I know that, like, technically, the Phantom of the Opera and the Invisible Man would technically be Universal Monsters. Are they lumped in with those same guys?
No.
Why are they slightly
really
separate?
I don't, maybe it's
is it because they're more human, perhaps, or slightly less mystical?
I think it's where they came in the cycle.
Okay,
I think it was kind of they
a bit
came,
later.
Yeah, because at the same time you had MGM doing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Okay,
so you had kind of like Universal doing the monster stuff.
Yeah, so that was separate.
Yeah, and then you had MGM and Warner doing a House of Wax. And more human kind of horror.
Yeah. So more like a serial killer, guy with a knife.
Yeah.
The Mad Men.
Yeah, I'd say that. So you had them, but they was this like the end of the 40s.
Okay.
I think Dr. Jekyll came a little bit early, but the single shot transformation, to say it's an amazing piece.
Good special effect.
Yeah, and the Wolfman in one of the Wolfman was really, because he just basically he changed. It's the only time he land changed after 10 hours in the same position like that, because it was stop.
Yeah.
Put some more on him.
Stop.
Stayed in the same position.
Stop. Well, it was clearly worth it, if it, you know. Made the effect.
And look how kind of, you know, the revered now everyone kind of loves them.
I mean, look at the Wallace and Gromit movies, all those kind of stop motion animated movies, you know, they take years.
And kind of everything we love about vampires all kind of came out of the early days, you know, from Bela Lugosi in the stage show to the early movies and kind of our vampire
Everything has been inspired from these, well, the Bela Lugosi version is very iconic, and then even the Hammer version is very iconic.
How many Draculas do you hear speak like Bela Lugosi?
Nah.
No,
because they can't beat it.
You know, they all try to put on that little bit of an accent. Yeah. You know, Gary Oldman tried.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's...
give it a good go, give it a good stab. You know, and I think it's almost like it came natural for him. You know, that's his natural accent.
Cockney Dracula.
Cockney Dracula. Yeah.
I'm so Dracula. It hurts.
He's a geezer.
And a fucking cat, yeah.
Apples and pears.
Jelly eels.
Eels up in soldier.
Anyway,
let's actually talk about the films we're going to talk about.
Okay, so both movies are produced by Carl Lindley.
Okay.
The studio was given to him by his granddad when he was 21 as a present. All the family were involved in Universal movies.
Okay.
They, up until that point, they'd done a few horror movies. They'd done Frankenstein. They'd done Hunchback with Lon Chaney, with the plaster on his back. And they'd done Phantom of the Opera with Lon Chaney again. So they had done horror movies. Mm. But Carl had this kind of vision. Right. His vision was Dracula. So both versions were produced by them.
Mm-hmm.
Both versions was written by the same person. Both versions were released at the same time.
Okay.
The Spanish version was then lost.
Okay.
And found in 1990.
Interesting. Just before we start talking about one version or the other, we're just going to have a quick toilet break, because I need one. So we'll be right back.
Dracula. The very mention of the name brings to mind things so evil, so fantastic, so degrading. You wonder if it isn't all a dream, a nightmare.
So we're going to talk about the famous version, the English language version, the more iconic version of the two versions. We're going to look interpretations, if you will. So let's talk about the Bela Lugosi Todd Browning version. So
yes.
how do you feel about this? Is it worth the iconic, you know, image of Bela Lugosi as Dracula? Does it honor that iconic image?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Okay, cool.
Every version's been based on it here enough. The sets are beautiful. The staircases go on forever.
Mm.
There's close-ups of weird things like insects and
armadillos.
Possums. Yeah. There's kind of almost like a dreamlike when Dracula and the brides first appear. It's almost.
Yeah.
Was like a dreamlike sequence.
Kind of a Midsummer Night's Dream type feeling.
Painted sceneries when they're in Transylvania. Yeah. Just amazing. The castle looks great.
Hmm.
Also, obviously, famous lines such as, you know, Creatures of the Night.
Yeah.
You know,
Children of the Night.
Children of the Night, yeah. Howling and stuff. So
I don't drink wine.
Yes, wine.
Which they use in the BBC version. Like every time he goes to eat, he goes, I don't drink wine.
I was like, oh, what do you drink then?
Yeah. Semen. Lots
gallons
of semen.
And gallons.
Buckets of it, love. Buckets.
Semen.
Of it. Semen.
I think the cast is very good.
Yeah.
I mean, all the cast.
Yeah.
Supporting cast are good. Renfield is amazing.
Yeah. This is probably the best Renfield of all the Renfields I've seen, which is not many, but it's the one I like the
and
most.
And you can clearly see that he's come through the kind of silent movie.
Hmm.
He's very expressionate, very kind of.
He's got a Conrad Veidt look about
him. Very much so.
Which I can definitely see.
The kind of little bit of time skips, a little bit weird, you know, when Transylvania, Bolt, Whitby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
6 months later, Whitby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are, obviously, you get rubber bats because it's 1930s.
Yeah.
I think what people have to realize is they filmed them with three cameras.
Yeah.
There was no rigs set up.
And these, you've got to remember, these cameras were massive as well.
Yeah.
Like we have got to the point where we have tiny cameras in our phones.
Which is better quality than
better quality than anything you're going to see from 1931. And they had to, like you said, they had to carry them upstairs, up and down, set them up. It will have taken them hours. And it's probably not even a one-man job. It's and like the, a two-man job.
The editing isn't great in places. You can almost clearly see when, like,
cut.
Todd's gone, cut. And it's all action.
Yeah.
I think Van Helsing's great.
He's good.
The archetype, kind of, what you imagine.
Very Germanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glasses, very intelligent. When he speaks, people listen. And he is very much an equal for Dracula in that. See,
he does have a commanding presence, definitely.
Yeah, and Dracula almost kind of has a bit of a wink at him, saying, you know, even though you've not lived as many lives as me, you're still intelligent, man. Yeah. Still no
wise
no
for stuff. One lifetime. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
My kind of criticism, it's not as sexy.
Okay.
It's not kind of, you know, he's seducing Mina. You know, he's
Do you
he's,
find the undead very sexy, Dennis?
Well, I find Mina very sexy.
Okay, fair enough.
But she's not undead.
Just yet.
Or unreasonable.
No.
Quite yet.
Not quite. Okay.
So it's, and there's no fangs.
Okay.
Which is fine because it was, and there's not much blood. There's a kind of little drip.
Okay. Right?
And, you know, listening to kind of interviews and interviews, it was shocking still for 1930s audience that they had these sort of
a few years ago there was an oncoming train on the cinema screen and people were running out of the cinema because they thought they were going to get hit with a train. We have to remember these kind of times not so long ago really in the scheme of things that people, this technology was crazy and completely unpredictable. And again, I think you were saying that this was one of the first three talkies that Universal did.
They mainly did Westerns, and they were all filmed on the Batlock. So something like this, apart from kind of Phantom of the Opera, where they built the Paris Opera House, and it's still
there.
It's the oldest.
Wow. I love that they keep the sets. I love that.
If you watch Wolfman, when he comes to the town, it's the same town that Frankenstein visits.
Yeah, I could see. So, I hadn't seen Frankenstein. I saw Wolfman fairly recently.
The fountain in the middle is the same.
Yeah.
So there's lots of that in it. But I kind of like, if we look at the way Bela Lugosi is dressed, you Google Dracula, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
first thing.
His hair in a little point and, you know, slip back.
Widow's Peak. Yeah,
medal on his chest and things. So including the new one, you know.
Yeah,
same look. Same sort of look.
Yeah.
I do like it.
Yeah.
There are lots of silent moments.
Yeah, I think, and like you said...
The pacing's a bit off.
Yeah, the pacing and the editing is my problem with it. I think also that Bela Lugosi, as much as I respect Bela Lugosi and his commitment and his craft, I don't think he was always the greatest of actors. For example, he, at the time, it doesn't affect his acting per se, but it does. He didn't know English.
No.
So he had to learn his lines phonetically through sounds, purely through sound. Okay, I make that noise when I say this. And it kind of makes him more... It's an iconic voice and it's an iconic accent. But like you can really hear it in some of the lines where he's like, we will be leaving tomorrow evening. You know, you can really hear it sometimes. I'm like,
well, the shooter didn't want him.
Really?
They wanted Lon Chaney. There was actually a letter sent out because Bela Lugosi was doing the stage play.
Yes.
He was proper, I want to do the movie, I want to do the movie,
popular,
I want to do this. And there's actually a letter that Carl Lenley sent out, said it's either Lon Chaney or it can't be done.
It cannot
be done without Lon Chaney. Unfortunately, Lon Chaney got cancer.
Can you imagine that today, though? For don't cast this person, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
That would never happen.
You know, it cannot
literally
be done.
Someone else will do it.
And Carmine Veit was another one they were thinking about bringing over to do because he just did the mouth. The
Man Who Laughs. Yeah. The basis for the joke.
Thing. Yeah, so he's got that, again, very iconic face. So even the student didn't want Bela Lugosi.
Oh. But again, proved very popular in the play. And you can see his kind of, again, like we said, it's a developing technology. It's a developing form of art, even at this time. So a lot of the acting is a bit hammy, if you want to say it. It's a little over the top. It is a bit theatrical.
And I think he plays it like the stage play.
Yeah, oh yeah.
For him, he's on the stage.
Yeah, and he plays it that.
It doesn't work the camera at all.
No, he doesn't use it in
compared
the way.
Compared to Renfield,
who
works the camera.
Oh,
the way his angles are and the way he looks at the camera and the bit on the bolt when he's giggling, he's looking right at you.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, even
you
though
feel
he's...
feel the madness.
Yeah, he's like, from this...
He's invading your space.
You know, he's done silent movies.
Yeah.
So he's used to kind of
cameras
putting himself through the camera, where Bela Lugosi was very much a stage actor.
Yeah. And I think he's a fascinating man. He's got fascinating history, and he is, you know, he is a talent. I think because, and I think he got better over time. From what I've
Dracula
seen,
twice.
There you go.
Played Igor twice as well. Igor, Son of Frankenstein, by far is best on. I think. Cat People as well. When he skins Boris Karloff.
Oh, I need to see that.
It's great. It's
I need to look at more kind of Karloff and Lugosi stuff, I think.
But the Igor is by far, he's brilliant in it. Yeah. Proper, it's really well done.
And yeah, like you said, the editing and the pacing. The editing is, it's a lot of it's like, we need a shot of this. Okay. But we can't have it leading in from this shot. So just, he's coming out of the coffin. We see his hand come out of the coffin. Cut. And it's Bela Lugosi stood up, looking at the camera, holding his cloak. Cut. And it's just, it's hard. And without music as well, the cuts are really jarring.
Yeah.
Really, really jarring.
I agree with you. And I think the seduction between him and Mina is very slow.
Hmm.
And it's very kind of, he leans over. Hmm. But because it's a very kind of conservative audience, there, you don't say anything.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff that happens off screen as well.
Yeah, and they mention, you know, they'll say, oh, she's got marks in her neck. You never see them. You don't know what they are.
Yeah.
She's got no blood.
Yeah.
Why? Cut, next thing.
Yeah, exactly. Go.
Yeah.
And I feel like Todd Browning also directed Freaks.
Yes.
Which is a very controversial film at the time as well. And that was cut down drastically. And there's an amazing scene in it as well. It's not really a full film, because of the cuts that were made. But there is an amazing scene of a man with no arms and no legs rolling a cigarette, lighting it, and smoking it.
Yes.
Which is, I find, incredible anyway. I'll watch the whole movie just to see that scene again.
I think the scene at the end when they're going after.
Yeah.
Under all the it's raining, it's really muddy, and some of them, the guy again just his hands.
Yeah, he's just crawling.
They'll come in, this like doom, these kind of things. Yeah. I guess, there is an uncut version, isn't there?
Probably, yeah.
I've never seen it.
I know that they paid reference to it in American Horror Story.
Yeah,
I think there was the little girls with the deformity they have. They do it again in American Horror Story's reference to it.
It's an infamous, because I've got it's really weird because Matt Gassett did a Best of Horror kind of like 3-part BBC documentary, and I've got the same book he's got in it, and there's a 2-page spread on the Freaks.
Okay.
And I have the same thing that he used when I had that when I was about 10.
Yeah.
I never used to look at the freak page because he used to freak me out.
It was scary. Because
they're real people.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was like, no, I'm going to turn over and look at the monsters instead.
Yeah, it's probably easier.
Yeah, so from a 1930s point of view, Bela Lugosi was, and everyone said that he was, I can't see it, but he was sexy and women loved him.
Well,
not as much as he loved himself.
No, probably not.
He apparently used to walk backwards and forwards in the mirror saying, I am Dracula. I am Dracula. I am Dracula. No, you're not. You're Bela Lugosi.
Playing about, mate.
Yes. But he loved. Like, he got buried in his cape.
Of course
he did. That's how much he kind of loved the role, even though he did it twice.
Yeah. And Ed Wood, Plan 9.
And then when he grew.
Yeah.
why is he 6'5" now?
He's also got more hair. He's younger.
Yeah, but he loved it. And he did, women did like him. I think it was because he's from parts unknown.
Exactly. Yeah, the darkest parts of Pennsylvania, Romania and all that. Women have obsession with, you know, men and women have obsession with like serial killers and the darker side of, you know, people have sex after funerals, you know, that kind of link between the two, to live and to die, is quite, you know,
And Dracula's about that. Dracula is, it's a sexy thing. You're exchanging fluids.
Yeah.
You know, there is this kind of dance of death you're doing with him. And I can't see it. I can see Christopher Lee.
Right, yeah.
There's something about him.
Yeah.
When he walks into a room.
He's got more charisma. And his height as well, I think.
And he's more like the description of Dracula.
Yeah,
he's taller. And he's, which, like, come to the Spanish one, Carlos is, again.
Yeah, yeah.
Taller, a bit taller, leaner. Yeah. But, I can't slag off the Bela Lugosi, because it's kind of my education.
Yeah.
Was watching Universal Horror. I do have, watching it now, I find some of the scenes a bit comical, but in both versions.
Yeah, it's true.
I do find the long, especially when when he just stands there, it feels like it's like 10 minutes. It's like a couple of seconds, he's just standing there looking at you.
And it's good, and it looks good. Like, if it was just a still image.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And that's it. And I think because the filmmaking had not been kind of mastered just at this point. I don't think we've gone, you know, we've not had things like, you know, Casablanca or Gone with the Wind. We've not had those big, like, this is film. Mm. This is what we can do with film, sound, color, image, you know, moving stories. This is what we can do. We've not had that. But to have that iconic image still, like, it still holds up to this day as the image. But I think the film, I think the same with Nosferatu, the image is stronger than the movie. The reference and the reverence we have for that image is much stronger than potentially.
I prefer Nosferatu than Dracula.
Yeah.
I like Nosferatu because I like the kind of plague element of it.
Yeah.
When he comes out of the ship, loads of rats run off. And,
he looks
referencing that.
He's
a disease spreader.
Yeah.
He's a plague.
It's an infection. Yeah.
Yeah. And the kind of being destroyed in sunlight came from that.
Yeah.
That's for Atu.
There you go.
And the woman, he's spending so much time with the woman that he forgets the sun's coming up.
Yeah.
So I think I
often forget that as well. Yeah. Nice spending time with a woman. I was like, oh no, I've got to be at work.
Yeah. And the famous kind of fingers up the wall, the shadow, he's walking up the steps and things and standing at the window, his little.
Well,
Shrek.
Yeah, Max Shrek. Yeah. Also a Batman villain.
Yes. I think his name means like.
I think Shrek is death.
Devil or devil. Something
like that. Yeah. But when I was at university, we were doing Midsummer Night's Dream, and the director he loves kind of universal monsters, kind of Hammer horror, that sort of thing. So he wanted to do it in that style. So Titania, I played Oberon, King of the Fairies, and Titania, Queen of the Fairies. She had her hair like the Bride of Dracula. She had these long, she grew her fingernails out and had she had short hair, but she kind of did what she could. She had this big, long gown. The fairies we had were like undead girls. So like the Brides of Dracula. Yeah. So they're all like, you know, all the kind of rhyme they were doing, this kind of weird sing-songy kind of voice. And who else? And Puck was basically like a Frankenstein monster goat boy kind of thing. Right. So there was bandages, like he'd been tied together. It was like somewhere in between all that. So the lovers kind of world was quite nice, but then when you got into the kind of supernatural element, it was very dark and creepy. My character, the director, was like, I want you to look like Count Orloff, or is it Orlok?
Orloff,
from Nosferatu, but I want you to sound like Bela Lugosi. So I had to watch both films kind of back to back. And it was very much like, and I did move slowly. I did use the hands. That's how I found my character, because I was like, I can't relate to a fairy king. I don't, you know, I can change.
I'm your fairy. Actually, you prince on this plot.
Very airy. But I basically used that physicality and the hands to find my character, to kind of invest myself through my physicality into the kind of mentality of the character. And that really did help me. But the voice as well, and people were like, you know, oh, you're doing really well. You've got this, yeah. And it was like, again, it was the best accent I could do, you know, given that, you know, not only is speaking and memorizing Shakespeare hard, but try doing that in a Romanian accent consistently. And all of my dialogue as well, all of Oberon's dialogue is just to the audience, because it's much like Bela Lugosi, I'm kind of acting to a lot of the time to nothing, to, you know, I can't look, I'm looking at the audience, I'm not looking at, I'm not going, hey, Puck, do this or do that. We're not having a conversation.
No.
I just say shit. Like he just goes, this and this and this.
I think you should do a line. Remember
okay, I'm going.
Go on then.
Il met by moonlight, Titania. That was my first line in the show. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hold on.
Bit of acting there.
And for my next trick.
So my next trick, I'll pull a rabbit out of my ass.
I can do that right now for you.
Oh, well, we'll save that. We'll save that for if we ever do any YouTube videos.
Yeah. No, and it has kind of spawned a franchise from it. Mm. You know, Universal Monsters became a franchise.
It did, yeah.
But I, you know, it does have its failings.
And then it died quite recently.
No, we're not talking about that one.
No, fair enough.
No, and it will come back.
With a vengeance.
Still dead.
Yeah. Will rise again.
It will. It does have its frailties. It does have its issues.
Yeah.
And a good segue, I think the Spanish version puts a lot of my issues with the American one, the English-speaking one. Right.
Okay, so talk about the Spanish version. So this is Mr. Melford and Mr. Velieris.
Yes, Carlos as like, Carlos, well, yeah. These were personal friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you instead of Mina, you had Eva.
Yeah.
And instead of Jonathan Harker, you have Juan.
Juan, yeah.
Harker, but I think that's the only names. Yeah. You've even got Martin. He keeps his name. The worst.
Oh, God.
The worst.
In the American one, it's just this. It's just like, I'm an Englishman, me, from somewhere there is English. I'm doing my English thing.
Yeah, he's like group four when he's looking after prisons, isn't he? Off your pop.
Yeah.
Oh, crap, I've left the door unlocked again.
Oh, is another mental asylum patient escaped? Oh dear, what am I to do?
I know it's not great.
No,
but I think with the Spanish version, there's not as much standing there.
No, you're right.
It's more fluid.
There's more action.
Yeah,
there's more action.
The lighting's better.
100%
agree. The scenes are longer. Like, the film's 90 minutes longer.
Okay.
So the film is longer.
It's not 90 minutes longer.
19. I thought you said 1-9.
I was like, that's two films.
Oh, I wish you were closer so I could slap you.
I'm a bit snippy.
Hashtag snippy. He is snippy. I'll tell you a story about it being snippy one day. Anyway.
Carry on, please.
So it is longer. So scenes are longer. Mm. Things are explained a little bit more.
Yeah.
And, God damn it, it's sexier.
Yeah.
It is by far sexier.
Yeah. Well, like we said, back in those days especially, we were a bit more conservative, a bit more reserved in the way we express ourselves sexually and otherwise. Violence as well was kind of buttoned down quite a bit. You know, I think you were saying the other day how the original Frankenstein had the murder of a child taken out of it because it was just too much. And you know, I don't know how likable he would be if you see the murder of a child. Probably not so much.
Depends how you do it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I guess. What a weird thing to say.
I don't know what to
Depends
say.
How you murder a child.
I mean, on screen. I mean,
like I said to Michael Chandler recently, I think genuinely, it was just frowned upon, no matter how.
Yeah,
you did
but
it.
I think okay. But what I'm saying is, he's a mindless monster in it. He doesn't understand that she won't float.
True. Yeah. True.
So they're both playing with flowers.
Playing a game.
I'm just going off a tangent. I'm going to defend myself.
Okay.
Here. So they're throwing flowers in. The monster doesn't realize that she won't float.
Right.
So he picks her up and throws her in laughing, thinking that she will float.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. She drowns. So if anything, it's a tragic accident.
But don't we all float down here, Georgie?
She doesn't. she sinks pretty quick.
Bloody hell. How heavy is this child? Cement shoes.
And the creatures, he looks generally confused why she's not bobbed back up again.
Right.
So it's not like he's... Should we stab her, drown her, throw her in front of a cart? How should we get...
How do we murder them?
It's not like he's murdered.
No.
He's confused about things.
Yeah,
he's concerned. He doesn't understand why it's not happened. So
that's what I mean by it.
I don't mean there's a good way of killing children. I mean...
I'm not editing this out.
in the context of Frankenstein... The creature generally looked concerned and upset of what's happened.
He doesn't realise, yeah.
No, and he kind of stands there looking for...
It's been a long time since I've seen it anyway.
He does look for a few seconds, kind of look at the flowers, looking at his... I don't kind of understand.
Yeah.
He doesn't go in and try saving her.
No, fair enough. He goes, nah, don't.
You can't have him up with that brain some eggs.
I mean, he doesn't know what water is.
No?
He doesn't know if he'll drown.
And he does.
He's got big shoes, so he might sink to the bottom.
He probably would do. He's like laughing and he's like, oh, and then she's, oh, get off me. Oh, splash, shit.
Yeah. Whoops.
Move on.
I guess it's the same if you had an iPhone today. If you found an iPhone, it'd be like, this is great.
I think.
Find someone throwing stones and goes,
And look at it from a child perspective. You know, children have done silly things to, you know, because they don't realize he's a child and he doesn't understand. Anyway. Back to Dracula. That's my defense. Anyway, there are longer scenes. Things are explained.
Yeah.
I think the supporting cast, apart from probably Eva,
is
a lot weaker.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Carlos does a sterling job as Dracula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Van Helsing looks like a milkman or a postman or a milkman cub postman.
Yeah.
And his facial expressions are very comical.
Yeah, I'd agree.
There are some good scenes in it, which we'll come to.
Renfield's not so great.
Renfield screams and cackles. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But it's really surprising to me how just that it looks like a totally different film.
Yeah, it feels like a different movie.
Feels like a different movie. The shots that are just... It's the same set. We've been over this. Yeah. It's the same exact set. You know, exactly. To the letter, to the design, it is the same. However, I've watched both of them today, and they look like different movies. They are different movies, but different sets entirely. And it's purely for the lighting, for this, the setting of the camera, for the staging of the actors, to everything. They've gone out of their way to change what they notice.
And I think you know, we'll talk about it when we get to move on to certain scenes.
Yeah, go for that.
So the opening sequence is almost exactly the same. Cart going down, Renfield gets out, blah, 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 going to castle, blah, blah, blah. But the English-speaking one, Renfield turns up at the castle. It's a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
Wide shot, these massive staircases, lots of cobwebs, armadillo running across this, that, and the other. It's beautiful. He's looking around, not sure what's going on. And then this person appears at the top of the steps and says, "Who I am."
Yeah.
Comes down, says a bit of dialogue. Doesn't walk all the way down the stairs, stays about halfway up.
Yeah.
Obviously does the Children of the Night, what sweet music they make and stuff. And Renfield kind of follows him. Very similar. You think, how can they better that?
Yeah. And that's iconic in its own right. There's a lot of status. And powerful.
The staircases look like they go on forever. Huge, massive, gothic, beautiful, really beautiful. And then the Spanish one, same start, exactly, you know, pretty much the same. You get the old mountains, the actual shot when they're going down the cart to the castle, it's the same, same shot.
Because in some of the, just to let the audience know, there's some of the shots in the Spanish version are shots of Bela Lugosi, aren't they?
Long shots, shots where there's no detail are exactly the same.
Too many actors or something like that.
So Renfield this time walks into the castle, same castle, but close up. You see him walk in. There's webs coming down from the ceiling, and a bat swoops down and kind of makes him uncomfortable. He tries batting the bat away. The bat then goes round. Renfield looks to the left and then looks to the right, and Dracula appears at the top, implying that the bat is Dracula. But then, for me, the next shot is, for his age, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The camera walks up the steps. Zoom in on Dracula at the top of the steps. There's massive web, spider's web behind him, frames him beautiful.
Yeah.
Like he does on the cover. If you ever see the cover of the movie, the web.
Yeah, it's like a blue poster.
Yeah.
Kind of, he's trying to come through the web and he's kind of grasping the web.
Yeah. And the web frames Dracula in this. Same sort, you know, I'm welcome to Dracula, da da da. He walks down the steps. There's a bit of dialogue. Now, when I've spoken to people about this before, they say, well, when Dracula's on the steps, he's higher than him, superiority, but even when he walks down the steps, he's still taller than him.
Yeah.
He's still higher than him.
Yeah.
He's still talking down to him.
He's dressed better as well.
Yes.
He's dressed better. He looks
taller.
He looks suaver, you know.
They walk up these steps and the camera follows them walking up, and Dracula seems to pass through these webs without breaking down at all, where Renfield has to fight his way through. So they go into the room. There's a bit of dialogue about Carfax Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
So in the English speaking one, again, it's pretty straightforward dialogue. Oh, thanks. Are you a bit hungry? Here's a bit of food for you. But there's a lot of moments where there's nothing happening. Bela Lugosi's close up of his red eye and his red eye and his eye lights up.
So there's like a strip of light against his eyes. Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot going on. He has a bit of, you know, the famous "I never drink
wine."
And they talk about Carfax Abbey.
He's more of a porn star martini man, isn't he?
Yeah. I think he's a daiquiri. I think he's a strawberry daiquiri.
Oh, strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah,
nice.
I think he is. I love a strawberry daiquiri. And Renfield cuts his fingers on a paperclip, and there's a tiniest pimple of blood comes out of his fingers. Oh, bloody
shocking,
hell.
Shocking.
Oh. Your Bela Lugosi is shaking. Oh, blood. What am I going to do here? Spanish version. Some sort of thing comes in, but the room looks massive. Instead of a close-up shot, they do a wide shot, and the room looks huge.
So,
you know, Renfield goes up to the fire, massive big roaring fireplace.
Hmm.
He stands there warming himself. You know, Dracula's walking around the place. There's some food over there for he's warming himself. And then Renfield goes over, has a bit of bite to it. Again, same sort of line, never drink wine. But this time, he's cutting the bread, crusty bread, and a knife slips and goes to his finger. Yeah. And you get beautiful blood coming down his arm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's compared to the one, there is blood.
It's gushing, yeah.
And Dracula looks at it, you know, ooh, I could do with that. That looks tasty. Oh, you know, a bit of a look away. So when he's going through the paperwork for Carfax, he's reading the pages where Bela Lugosi just stood and looked at one sheet.
Hmm.
And that was it. He's
looking over it. He's a businessman. Yeah. He should know. What's
he's
going
nodding
on.
His head to Renfield. He's going through it. So it's the whole scene just seems better.
Yeah.
And then to kind of end the scene, obviously, you know, both of them have a bit of a weird with the wine.
Yeah.
Falls over.
Yeah.
and then the bride's coming.
Well, a bit wobbly. But so, he kind of drugs him, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he effectively drugs him, I think.
So the bride's coming. Now, on the English speaker one, three brides dressed, basically covered from head to toe.
Yeah,
it might as well be wearing boiler suits.
Up to the neck. I think.
Hair tied right back.
Yeah.
They walk in very, very slowly.
Yeah.
Very, very slowly.
Yeah. There's a lot of this.
Very slowly.
There's a lot of slowness.
Bit of smoke and
yeah.
they kind of get close to him and lean in, and then Bela Lugosi opens the door and just shoves them away.
There's a bat, a rubber bat,
which is
bouncing on a string, which you see a lot of in this. and then he goes to the window. And the bride's go closer and closer. They don't even get anywhere near him, to be honest.
They don't get even
slightly near him. And then kind of Dracula just kind of...
Just shoos them away. Yeah, like he's like,
shoo,
shoo. Like
fly or something.
Yeah,
you know, get away. Naughty dog, get away.
So the Spanish version where Renfield, he bounces off the walls a little bit.
Yeah.
He does a bit of a walk. He doesn't just like walks and falls over. Yeah. He's clearly been affected by whatever's in the wine.
Yeah.
Bounces off the falls to the floor. In the background, you see the brides. He opens the window and the brides are already in the room.
Yeah.
The background.
You can see them kind of leering. They're looking.
Yeah.
They're stalking their
prey. It's almost like they've been there the whole time.
Yeah.
That's the
but you haven't seen them.
They've been standing there waiting for their moment. Dracula said, right. Give me five.
Yeah.
Let me
be off.
Let me just go out, get him a bit drunk, and you can have him.
Mm.
So he's buggered off. And they're there in the background. Yeah. And they are sexy. They kind of, I don't know, saunter. They kind of,
the way they move is like, there's a lot of this where I feel like they've just said, do this. And they've gone, I'll do it. And not really thought about it or how their character would do it. But they're just going, walk forward, stop there, cut. You know, it's stuff like that. There's a lot of moments I feel. In the English one, and somewhat in the Spanish one, that there's moments where it's just like, okay, do this. Right, we're doing it. Right, do it. Make sure you do it super slowly because we need to catch it all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Bela Lugosi kind of leaning in for the kill, and he's like, you know, he's hypnotized them, they're there, he's ready to kill them, and then he slowly leans in.
With a grin.
Slowly leans in, you know, grins or does that kind of gurn or whatever he does. And then bites them, and then they scream. And it's like, if you are this avid kind of creature of the night, this, you know, ravenous, you know, blood-soaked fiend, you wouldn't need to wait that long.
No.
Why are you leaning in?
You're an animal,
ever
you're
so
beast.
Slow. Yeah, you tear into it. And that's the problem I have with a lot of it.
And the Spanish brides, they're almost like, I don't know, strippers. They're almost, they seduce you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have their way with him. They gather around him and go in. You see him lean into him.
Well, you see a shot of Dracula actually outside as well.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, and I think he's getting into a coffin. Is he getting into a coffin?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you see, so with the Lugosi one, he stands there, he's the bat, then he stands there, then he shoos him away. Yeah. 10, 15 seconds at max is that whole thing. But you see Renfield look for Dracula outside. He's there and you can see him kind of, he's not like climbing up the walls. Like
he's not hiding. But he's like, yeah, I'm getting a coffin now.
I'm going to get in my coffin.
Yeah, deal with it. You know
yeah, seeing a bit. And then, he collapses, Renfield collapses, and then they kind of converge on him. Yeah, it's a lot more interesting to watch that particular scene. Yeah. It's nice to know that kind of, that Dracula gets around and goes places. And it gives the women in the film like agency. It gives those brides agency, something to do, and they are, you know, they're vampires in their own right, and they're, you know, and they're kind of, again, you were talking about seduction, you know, back in these conservative times, you know, women wouldn't have that kind of sexual agency or that sexual power, you know, over men. We wouldn't see that, you know, and we wouldn't see women being violent towards men. Very rarely would you see that in film, any kind of form of media at the time,
you know.
So it, in a way, it's kind of quite progressive for its time to show that. And again, more shocking than the Lugosi version, and more interesting as well. Their movements in the
lot more interesting,
yeah, a lot more kind of there's character to it. I can tell that they've thought about it.
The camera angle isn't just from behind.
Yeah,
you've got. Renfield at the front, and you see the women behind.
Yeah,
the camera's then behind. You see them come on screen.
Yeah,
like I know that they do change halfway through. 1 minute the brides from the Bela Lugosi one.
Yeah,
and then they turn back to being
because
it's a long shot. Most long shots are the same movie to save money and time.
Exactly.
But when they come in, like just the clothes they're wearing, a bit of cleavage.
Yeah,
and it's not, I'm not saying it needs to be sexy. It's not sexualized women, but.
No.
these are brides of Dracula.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be walking on with boiler suits.
Yeah.
You know, they're there. They, you know, anyone who's read the book, yeah. The brides are, they seduce Harker yeah. And anyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what they're there for. That's what they do. And they seduce something and eat. Yeah. You know, something and eat.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is, it's a more perfect scene for me. From that 50 minutes, the Spanish one for me nails it.
Okay, so so I don't think we mentioned this earlier, but we are. It's
well,
okay, don't worry. No, this is good. This is good stuff. I didn't want to stop you, but yeah. So we're normally, like I said earlier, we normally would judge, you know, various different kind of methods throughout the film. So acting, you know, cinematography, you know, direction, all that sort of stuff. I do like five usually, but this time we're going to specifically look at specific scenes and go, did the Spanish version or the English one do that better? So we're talking, you know, Dracula's introduction, his, you know, the bride's coming in, Renfield being, you know, having his way with or what have you, his seduction. Let's say Renfield's seduction as well. So yeah, I have to agree with you 100% on this, because I think there's more thought. There's more thought put into this. There's more, you know, there's more character. And I think maybe the advantage they had as well was, again, these long shots. They didn't have to worry about the long shots.
Yeah,
they didn't have to think about the long shots. So they had more time to think about how to frame and work with the shots they did have to do. And the things they did have to manage. Because the Spanish team, if I'm right, they watched the English filmmakers during the day.
They had spies.
And then they kind of perfected, potentially perfected in some forms, those scenes.
And for all we know, the Spanish movies of the day were filmed like that, but I've got nothing to compare it to.
We don't.
But I think because some shots are similar, they just do it better, I think. There's some shots with that, you know, the appearance of Dracula, the adding the bat and stuff. It's pretty much the same shot. The staircase is the same. The shooting originally, but then they go up the Dracula.
Yeah.
They still have the wide shot to start off with.
Yeah.
But then they narrow it in and say, so it's almost a case to say, right, that's what they're going to do. Should we see if we can do something a bit different?
Yeah.
Can we do something a bit more interesting with it?
Let's just play with it. And I think that's what you get, like, with adaptations, with things, you do have to make changes, you know. And I think that's good that they could, if they wanted to, they could have just done the exact same thing in the exact same style in the exact same staging, but they didn't. They wanted to be different. They wanted to change it up a bit. They wanted people, you know, who knew that this film would have even been found. You know, they didn't know that this would have been analyzed by you, me, and several other hundreds of people. We're lucky to have found this, you know, this Spanish version. You know, we might not have ever have discovered this. And I think it's so fascinating that they did. So they mixed it up a bit because that's the way the Spanish make films, and not the way that the English audience see, view, or, you know, make films.
Just on that scene, you can clearly I watched it anyway. Yeah. My mindset was they're going to take risks here.
Yeah.
The fact they've had women doing this.
Yeah.
The fact they've shown blood.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. Compared to the other.
Yeah. In comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very minimal.
And they say, well, what else will they do? Mm. It's not all perfect, because can we move to the next scene?
We can. Well, I think we both agree that. It's a point each.
Yes.
To the Spanish version, so
definitely
we're going to keep track of this. So just so we know, so we've got one
Spain,
one out of five. One. Yeah,
Spain. English version.
Yeah,
nil pois.
Moving on to the second scene. So this scene, Mina or Eva attacks Juan or Jonathan Harker. So let's go with the more famous version. Let's go with the English version first.
The English version is a lot shorter. The scene is considerably shorter than it is in the Spanish version.
Much like the previous scene.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same significance in the English speaking one.
Okay.
So basically, Dracula's been visiting Mina, or Eva. So visiting Mina, trying to turn into a vampire.
Yeah.
Van Helsing and Mina's dad are in the drawing room talking. We'll do that scene after.
Yeah.
And Mina is kind of overcome with joy and happiness. And Harker, look, I'm brilliant in this. And I go, look at you. You look pretty. Da, 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 da. Let's go out on the chaise lounge outside.
Yes.
So they go out the side of the chat.
Because that's where you have them, outside.
Yeah, outside. So they're chatting away, and a bat appears, a big bat. Harker jumps up, tries batting this bat away. Again, as bats. And Bat flies away, but has a kind of conversation with Mina.
Okay.
So, and Mina goes, I will.
Sorry, yeah. is that Beaker from the Muppets?
I feel like they're going to throw at you. Anyway, so they have this, like, kind of conversation. So then Harker sits down, and to put Mina is dressed from head to toe again. Her you can see a tiny bit of neck.
Okay.
The dress goes right the way to the floor, and it's pretty much the same dress you see her in every night time. Okay. I think she has one outfit to sleep in. So it's again quite covered up.
Yeah.
So she's talking about how Dracula's come to visit her and Miss Annie, and Harker's laughing. Van Helsing and your dad are talking bollocks in the room about him. I don't believe this. And she's going, well, you know, I think we could be doing this with him. I think he's a mystical guy. And he starts kind of like taking the piss out of Dracula, basically. Mm. So as this is happening, you've got Van Helsing and Mina's dad coming to the doorway. Mm. Van Helsing stops her dad from going and said, you know, like, listen to what's going on here. Mm. And Mina moves a little, Mina's eyes go a little bit wide. And she leans into Harker and puts a hand up. And it cuts to Van Helsing and you scream.
Yeah.
Da, 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 cuts back. Harker's standing up. Mina's on the sofa going, and that's the scene.
Hmm.
Okay?
So it's much more implied.
I know. Yeah. Mina's stood on a nail.
Yeah. It could easily, yeah. So we don't know who's hurt. We don't know how they've been hurt. It's just a scream.
You assume because she's moving forward that she's, something has happened between her and Harker.
Yeah.
But you don't know what. Spanish version.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start by saying Eva, who's now Mina.
Yeah,
her attire is a little bit more risque,
bit more racy.
Yeah, it's okay. Plunging neckline and see through.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you can see
nipple.
You can see nipple. It's completely an outfit she went to bed in. So she went to bed in quite a conservative clothes.
Yeah.
And she's turning into this vampire, and her clothes have changed. She's come more liberal, more her hair's down.
Yeah.
So the character has changed. With the Mina character, same hair, same clothes, same everything.
Okay.
Where she's looking like a bride.
Mm-hmm.
So the brides who attack Renfield at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
she's starting to look like one of these kind of
dressing
creatures of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same makeup.
Yeah, and she's dancing away and she's full of gay abandon and you know, she's
it's a lot more obviously romantic.
Yeah.
It's not as awkward or as like buttoned down as the English version.
No, there's a couple of the dialogue with Van Helsing and Dad, which don't really need.
No.
But it's there anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it's a segue so you don't see him walking outside.
Yeah, yeah.
So next thing you know, they're outside. There's no giant bat.
No.
There is the same conversation with something. But
there's no
meep, 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 meep.
And it's kind of implied that Dracula is down underneath the kind of canopy.
I mean, there's a lot of shots of Carlos, old Carlos, standing there, kind of looking upwards or looking into the house or things.
There
like
is
that.
there is this kind of.
So it's more like a mental thing as opposed to a literal conversation.
The conversation between Van Helsing and Dad saying Mina's under her power, Eva's under his power now, and again, it's kind of laughed off. So the kind of sat there is Juan, who's Harker, and Eva having this conversation again, and she's kind of caressing herself and caressing him, and it's a lot sexier. It's a lot more kind of, not as much implied.
More liberal.
Yeah, her hands are on him, and...
Yeah.
She
leans. It's like she heavily.
Yeah,
stares at him, and she leans in
because in front of
seductively, and it's a long lean, but it's a lot more effective than cutting away and screaming.
Yeah, and she bites him.
Yeah, you see him. You see her bite,
and it's a close up of her biting his neck.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a cutaway. There's not like
you don't see the blood,
and you know, teeth going to blood.
Yeah,
it's not that, but you see her definitely attack Harker. It's not implied.
No.
It is explicit.
And they, again, run out. Mm-hmm. The scene cuts, they run out. There's a bit of dialogue, blah, 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 blah. You then see Eva go and actually meet Dracula.
Okay.
And that's kind of the end of the scene. Where that doesn't tend to happen. English version, when you get the maid coming saying, oh, she's on the field. She's lying down in the field. Where after attacking Ark, she goes and Dracula has another go at her.
Yeah.
See, that's... I know we're comparing scenes, but...
Yeah.
In the version, the English speaking version, Dracula is seen to probably bite her once.
Yeah, maybe.
In this one, it's four times.
Four times.
Three in the bedroom, one in the field.
Gradual transformation.
Yeah.
It's a gradual seduction.
Cousin Caesar.
It's not straight away.
Cousin Caesar a couple of times in bedroom and then one outside.
And that I think that's more in line with what I'm aware of the book to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's a slow process.
It's not just like, bitten, I'm a vampire.
But the scene makes sense
of
her turning into this, her clothes changing, her hair changing, her attitude changing.
Yeah.
She's going from quite a conservative.
Meaner in this version is looks exactly the same all the time. She has a scarf on to cover the bites.
Yeah.
She has, you know, she's very buttoned down. And it looks like the same outfit pretty much every time. She's got the same bit of headwear.
And I think that's the outfit on Eva is like a silky.
Yeah.
It looks, it's more sexy. The outfit is more sexy. Well, this one is kind of like...
Vampires are sexy. They're allowed to be sexy.
That's what they are. That's the whole point. And,
and
again, it's just, it makes, the shots are nice with her. Like
the
shot when she's leaning in, it's close up.
Yeah.
The shot when when he's trying to seduce her is a wide shot.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Van Helsing's listening.
Yeah, he's listening.
But it's the camera's then from behind.
In the room.
So you see the room. You see Van Helsing. See the door. The outside. The trees.
Straight along.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. So it's proper depth to it as well.
Well, I have to totally agree with you. I'm not going to say much because that's basically what I feel as well. I just think it's a better scene. It's less kind of, again, less cutting away, less, you know, implied stuff, more explicit. Storytelling is show, don't tell. I feel like the Spanish version is better at that in general. It's more, you know, experimental. It's more racy. It's more, you know, it's a braver bit of storytelling than I think the English version is. So I agree with you on this. Let's do the next scene, which is the Van Helsing mirror scene.
Yes. Yes. The Van Helsing, for those of you who are unsure about what the scene is, it's basically Van Helsing discovering Dracula as a vampire.
He's outing him.
Yeah, he thinks he is.
Yeah.
He goes to Mina's and Harker's family residence to kind of check up on Dracula.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about Bela Lugosi one again.
Okay.
So basically, he's come to talk about Carfax Abbey. They're neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
They've met in the opera beforehand.
That's right, yeah.
We're going to go around and have, you know, fondue or something.
Yeah.
I don't know where the vampires are from a part in the 30s. So he's gone around. And there's lots of dialogue. In both versions, there's lots and lots of dialogue.
It's a lot of exposition on what vampires are and how they affect people, what their powers are, what their weaknesses are.
It does go on for quite some time.
Yep.
A mirror scene with a cigarette box. Van Helsing's going to close the cigarette box and notices that Dracula's talking to Harker and Harker's, Mina's dad.
Yeah.
There's no reflection.
What?
Van Helsing looks again, looks back, looks again. But Van Helsing's acting is great.
Yeah.
He looks physically one sick.
Yeah.
And scared.
Confused. Yeah.
Confused. He doesn't quite. He's like, shit. Yeah. I'm right.
Yeah. He's like, oh my god. Everything I've been telling people that they the myth all these years through several scenes, even in this film.
Yeah.
That's what I love about that is because he looks in the mirror. Looks at Dracula, looks at Harker, looks at the mirror, looks at Dracula, looks at Harker, looks at the mirror, looks at Dracula, just to be sure.
He's like,
just to be 100%
sure. And then just to make 100% sure, Dracula then goes and talks to Mina
and
in a door frame as she's going to bed. Because this is 1930s, and when a woman's told to go to bed, you go to bed.
Oh, yes. I mean that's back in those days.
That scene's amazing.
Yeah.
He's told to go to bed. He's like, but I want... No.
No. Time to go to bed. You're not well. Go to bed.
This is men's time. Yeah. Anyway. So... And he angles the cigarette box so he can see, and again looks, and Mina's talking to Dracula, and she's chatting away.
And then Dr. Seward goes over as well, and turns two of them, and they're both in there. And Dracula should be in the center, but he's not.
Yeah, he's not there.
So
it's a good scene. So Dracula comes back in, and Van Helsing tries to trick him into, you know, looking in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bela Lugosi comes over and he says, Can I show you something?
Yeah.
He's like, all right then. Don't know what he's going to show him in the box. Opens the box and Bela Lugosi slashes it out of his hands, smashes on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's looking at him and he's like, sorry.
Oops.
I
shouldn't have done that.
Don't like mirrors.
Okay.
I apologize. I overreacted. It won't happen again, kind of thing.
And he kind of goes, Van Helsing will tell you about it. I got this thing.
So, and he exits the room and turns around and says, "You remember this line, for a man with only one lifetime,
you're a very wise man."
And it's like, he's got me.
And that's what he says. Like, I got this thing with mirrors. Van Helsing will tell you about it. I'm off. I'm out.
Yeah. I don't give a shit, you know. He's that arrogant. I don't give a shit that you know, because you know.
I need another pee break. So I've had too much gin, I'll be honest. I've had far too much gin.
Next, we'll talk about the Spanish version.
Yes.
But no, this is no dream. This is Dracula, the original terrifying story of a maniac and a man who lived after death, lived on human blood.
So we're back and we're talking the Spanish version of the Van Helsing mirror scene.
Same setup. Van Helsing looks in the mirror. Unlike the English speaking version, it's a little bit more comedic, should we say?
Laughable.
His face of shock is...
Yeah, he's not... His face is not really as good as Bela Lugosi's, let's say.
No. And there is a scene, there's not so much kind of checking that he's... There's not the looking at everyone in the room.
They kind of just know.
It's just, there's a scene with Mina, and there is a good little bit where he goes to kiss Mina's hand, and when he looks in the mirror, the hand just goes up with no one touching it. And goes back down.
Yeah, that's like, you wouldn't put your hand in that position.
No.
It's quite high. Yeah. It's like a high kiss for the hand, you know, for Dracula kissing the hand. And it's not a natural position.
No.
It's like you're doing like a little goose arm or doing a duck impression or something with your hand.
And then when Dracula comes back in to kind of look at the, you know, to try to be tricked into looking in the mirror, it just takes forever. Dracula leans in, looks at himself, and realizes that he can't see himself. And then jumps back in shock, looks at Van Helsing with a wry smile on him, and smashes the box up with his cane.
Yeah. I mean,
with the Bela Lugosi one, it's more of a reflex. Yeah. He sees it, crap.
He goes, that's one of my weaknesses. Yeah. Well, that'll reveal me as a vampire. Fuck.
Yeah.
Quick. And like that, I wanted a lot more of that in the Bela Lugosi version.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a lot more of him moving in like an animal, like a vicious kind of beast.
And the kind of exchange between Dracula and Van Helsing in the Spanish one is, it looks like a parody.
Yeah.
It looks just the facial expression is like, wee, ooh, ah.
And it's not even like, it's something like, you just, and he like, he's already, before he opens the thing, he's already staring really intently at this cigar box with the mirror in. Like, before he even opens it, which is really bad, you know, as an actor, you're not supposed to, like, you know, telegraph what the fuck you're going to do next, because you're supposed to experience it for the first fucking time. And this is what he was doing. So he was like, looking. I'm probably going to open this cigar box for some reason in a minute. I'm sure nothing unusual will happen. But, oh, no, it's a reflection. It's not in it. And that's it. And, like, unlike the other one, which is kind of like a little game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is it true? Is it real? Is it real? Everything, all my, you know, possibilities, all my theories about vampires, are they real? I need to make sure. Quick, can you see this? Can you not see this? Let me have a look. And it's a lot more kind of, it's more believable.
Natural.
It's more natural, yeah. It's not as hammy or as ham-fisted.
When Dracula leaves, it's almost shot for shot the same as the English one. There's nothing changed in it.
No.
So, in my opinion, the English version does that far better.
I like the dramatic smashing of the mirror with the cane.
Yeah.
That looks gorgeous. Big wide shot.
I like the wide shot of the room looks huge again. Yeah. Massive.
Again, massive.
I like the hand, because the hand was like, someone's kissing a hand. Yeah. Why is she doing that? He's not there. If I look at him, he's kissing. Yeah. So Mackie's not doing it. So it didn't flow.
No.
It didn't flow for me.
So far we have 2 points. Spain 2. And the English version one. I totally agree with you on all these points, exactly.
This has never happened before.
That's why I'm not saying much, which is unusual for me. I just totally agree. I think you've boiled it down to the right thing. I think Bela Lugosi goes from charming to a fucking vicious killer in a second, the second he sees that mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's far more exciting and more interesting. I just wished he'd kind of smashed it with a cane. If you everything else with the Bela Lugosi version, fine. But smash with that cane, all the glass going everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, even in slow-mo. I know they didn't have slow-mo by then, but that would have been nice.
But just do it everywhere. Slow-mo.
You know. I mean, Bela Lugosi basically acting in slow-mo anyway.
But no, I do think the English version does that better.
I agree. I 100% agree. I think it's I think it's all on Van Helsing. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Again, like we said, like Dracula looks in the mirror, then goes, "Oh, I'm not in the mirror." Ah, you know, it's almost like he's forgotten the gospel of his things. I think as a vampire, you wouldn't forget.
And I also think,
you're trying to hide between like real life humans, I don't think you'd forget.
And the Spanish Van Helsing, let's be honest, he ain't great, is he?
Nah, like you said, he's a bit of a milkman.
Yeah, he looks like he's just bizarre.
And the scene was laughable. Like, I laughed out loud when we watched it. I was like, this is his reaction. Like,
I can see what he's doing. I can see the cogs moving in his head and why he reacts.
It was like a naked gun reaction.
Yeah, but it was very over the top, too much. But the smashing took me right out of the laughing.
And the hand thing I like.
The hand thing is good. But again, not enough to knock that English point off. Okay, so final scene we're going to look at.
The climax.
I know, right? And then we're going to compare them and decide which one is best.
The climax. Both films very similar.
Killing of Dracula, the death of Dracula.
We have the trip from Dracula to in Carfax Abbey carrying Mina, which Belagos doesn't really do because I think he's a small,
skinny old man
of a lad, and he can't carry Mina.
No.
Where Carlos carries her.
Yeah, he does. He really does. And it's not like, and again, a long shot. It's not like, again, these quick cuts from Todd Browning. It's not the same. It's
now.
They linger. They have whole conversations with her, with the fully grown woman in his arms.
So you have him coming down, Belagosi then realizing the sun's coming up, craps his pants. I've got to do something. Hmm. And then you don't really see Van Helsing and Harker looking for Mina.
Right.
There's very quick cuts of them running around, then cuts of them running around. Before you know it, they're in the cat. Mina's nowhere to be seen. She's standing somewhere out of shot between most of this.
Yeah. But again, potentially seeing like women in peril might have been quite extreme for that time, potentially.
So Dracula gets into his box. They're not coffins, they're boxes.
Yeah, they are boxes.
Which I quite like it as well.
Yeah.
Van Helsing's got this piece of wood. They scoot around and find, like, it's almost like a bracket, I think.
It looks like a really thick, like, crowbar.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
So he's got that. So Harker says, "You deal with Dracula. I'm going to go and find Mina."
Yeah.
You see Dracula stand, Van Helsing stand over Dracula's coffin, cut to Mina standing there. You hear this bang.
Exactly right.
You see Mina kind of go, grab herself, grab her head, grab herself, look around, and almost being exercised of the vampire within her.
Mm-hmm.
Then Harker catches up with her, walks up the staircase, film ends.
He just goes,
"That's it."
He goes, Van Helsing goes, "Me outside."
Yeah.
Dracula is dead forever now. Don't worry about it. Me outside.
Let's go and have a brew.
That's it. And that's how it ends. And it's like, again, we don't see anything. It's all implied.
Right.
I think the reaction from Mina is good.
Yeah.
I think it's very extreme, very like, "Oh my God, I've just seen something really horrific. I've just seen a guy, you know, put a piece of wood through another man. You know, I've seen a murder." You know, it's an extreme, you know, obviously it's a supernatural creature, but it's still a murder. And, you know, she reacts, Jonathan catches up with her, and then it's just like, "Don't worry about it, it's fine. Off you pop, go down the shops.
Yeah.
Go grab a beer.
A loaf of bread."
And it's very abrupt. It's again jarring. It's again these quick cuts and these quick scenes. You know, obviously they maybe like they were stretched for time. Who knows what the filming situation was like?
I've never actually heard Todd Browning anything written out. I've never about how we edited them.
No, how we. I mean, again, he will have hired somebody. I'm sure. But
and then the Spanish one again. The scenes double the length.
Yeah.
Like I said before, the movie's 19 minutes long.
19
so it's
minutes.
A lot longer. So you have Dracula coming down the staircase carrying Mina, Eva.
Yeah.
You have a bit of a scuffle with Renfield.
Mm-hmm.
Renfield gets killed.
Yeah.
He goes down. He gently puts Eva against the wall. He's like, he's in love, but he's almost in love with her now.
Because they're talking about the chance. There's a chance she's not dead. There's a chance she's alive. So there's a chance she's not fully a bride of Dracula.
But while this is going on, in the background, you've got Van Helsing and Harker running around Carfax Abbey, trying to find a way in, shouting through windows, Caesar walking down these staircases, running around trying to find a way in.
Mm.
So Dracula puts her down, sun comes up, same sort of response. Ooh, gotta hide.
Yeah, quick.
Doesn't guess in his box. She kind of stands up.
Mm.
Van Helsing asks Harker to find him a stake, find him something to do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, go.
So you got exactly the same piece of wood in the first one. Same metal, bracket, crowbar-y thing.
Yeah.
This time, you see Van Helsing kneel down at the side of the coffin, puts the stake on top of Dracula.
Yeah.
Then there's a cut scene, and you get this... Three.
Yeah.
Proper.
Mm.
And with each one, you can see Eva going, kind of like touching. It's almost like the kind of sexual side leaves
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
She kind of goes from touching herself to kind of being, patting herself down.
Yeah.
That type.
Yeah.
Stuff.
One character to another. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the end shot will be is.
So Van Helsing's on the ground.
Yeah.
It's of the staircase.
A beautiful shot.
Well lit.
Yeah.
Beautiful lit.
And
beautifully lit.
Massive. He's like looking up at them.
Yeah. So they're walking off. I think actually he's looking at Renfield's body.
Renfield's body, yeah.
Because you don't see this in the English version as well, is that you see Renfield thrown from the stairs and lands.
Strangles him.
Yeah, strangles him.
And
then
throws
his body and he lands. And it's well lit. It's almost like the light's coming out the window.
Well, when the camera's, when she's walking up the steps with Harker, the actual camera's like a circle. It's almost like a spiral. They make it look like a spiral staircase. And the staircase looks massive. It's just, I think it's a better, it's a better finale.
Yeah.
It doesn't,
dumb. Yeah. It feels more natural. It comes to a natural conclusion. And again, a lovely mostly still image. It's beautiful. And again, it gives it that time to breathe.
Yeah, yeah.
And the English one doesn't do that as much. Really should.
Even the staking three times.
Yeah.
It kind of really.
I mean, it's not easy to put something through someone's chest.
I wouldn't have thought.
You know, it's going to take a few goes.
Yeah.
Even hacking someone's head off is going to take a few times, you know.
It's like an amount of experience.
I mean, you know the best way to kill children, so. Let's be honest. Let's compare them. It's almost a landslide victory for the Spanish version.
There's lots of things we haven't talked about. Like when you see Dracula get out of his coffin, he gets out of his coffin.
He did.
In the Spanish version. In the English version, he doesn't.
Yeah.
You see Hank, he appears.
Yeah, and you see a lot more mist and there's
a lot more mist. There's fires.
Yeah.
There's the cave is on fire. The brides are seen a lot more. Yeah. The wide shots are better. The close-up shots are better. Yeah, the supporting cast isn't as great.
I would watch both of them as a back-to-back because they're fun, they're good. Again, the lack of music is hard on you because it doesn't give you that oomph and that it doesn't feel like it has that much pacing. You need something to kind of carry those scenes and change those scenes and you know support those scenes because music is very important in film and to not have that I feel is like a really big you don't notice it until it's not there and you're like shit this film needs music. I don't know. Do you agree that just Spanish?
I've always said, and I said this to a person in the shop the other day, Spanish version. I implied Spanish version is by far the better version of it.
And I have to agree, as iconic as Lugosi is, and he is very iconic, and his Dracula is very iconic, overall, as a film and as a film fan, the Spanish version is much better.
You can compare pretty much the whole movie, and it'll always be like, 10 to the Spanish version, 8 to the English version.
And it is. And they're both still good. They're both good films. They're both enjoyable. They both have their flaws.
I did enjoy watching the Spanish version tonight with you more than watching the other one.
I have to agree as well, yeah. I think we might have had some fun together. We watched the original together. Yeah. But yeah, no, watching it together was
and even though
beneficial.
It does sometimes in some places because there's a lot more shots of Dracula skulking.
Yeah, drag a bit.
You know, the payoff's better.
Yeah.
The payoff,
everything.
They set the scenes up and then pay off.
So we're running out of time very quickly. So I just want to mention a few listener comments about what we were going to talk about. So gone to Facebook and we've got one of our big fans, Annette Wantling. It says, absolute classic. Can't wait to hear what you both have to say. I definitely prefer the introduction shot of Dracula in the Spanish version.
There we go.
Just like you said. Exactly. Paul Mellis says, I'm loving BBC's Dracula. It is awesome. He's perfectly played. I really like the story how it's been updated with some nice twists and turns along the way. And we'll be sure to listen to you and Dennis prattle. So that's very nice. Thank you. I totally agree with you, Paul, as well. Great update. Really entertaining. Artiste Chandler, as he likes to be known, but Michael Chandler, as we know him, he just says about the BBC Dracula, immense, just immense. And we agree. I go over to Twitter now and our friend from the 20th Century Geek pod or at 20th Century Geek, another fellow podcaster. He says, I have to say this is a close call. Bela Lugosi is the better Dracula for me, but the Spanish version is a better film overall. And we have to agree.
Yeah,
agree wholeheartedly with that. And that is our time up. So thank you very much, Dennis, for coming over.
No, well, thank you. And because it's a leap year, you know I can propose to you this year.
Oh my gosh.
Just hold that. Don't forget, my wife's all the Draculas.
She is all the Draculas.
All the Draculas.
She's the one who wins. She's the one who wins. And good night.
See you later.